Thank you, Jason. God bless you all. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going through the second part of a short little sermon series called Making the Most of Our Time, or All the Time in the World. And we're talking about time from two different angles. But before we get into this, just want to remind you, as Jason touched on, next weekend is Easter. Easter is the most significant day of the year for those of us that are Christians. It's the day we remember the resurrection of our Lord. And it's the day that separates Jesus from every other person that's ever walked on the face of this earth. It's what makes his word, his message different. And so we're going to celebrate next week. And hopefully, if you have time, drop by our Good Friday experience. It's a walkthrough experience. I promise you it will move you and it will bless you and your personal relationship with the Lord. And then on the weekend, we have six services across our campuses. We're going to have four services here at Knoxville, 3 and 5 o'clock on Saturday, and 9 and 11 o'clock on Sunday. And so hopefully you'll be here, but also we would like to ask you to reach out and invite somebody. If you know of a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a relative who doesn't have a church family, doesn't have a church home, we're not going to be hammering people. We're going to have a message about the resurrection that we think is going to be relevant to everybody, regardless of where they are on the spiritual spectrum. And we just want to encourage you to give them an invite. In the back of your seat backs there, we're almost out, but we have some invitations there you can share. I've got two different restaurants that I go to regularly and talk to the owners there that are not committed Christians, and I've talked to them in the past. I'm going to be going by them each restaurant this week and sharing them an invitation. I hope that you'll do the same. Also, another way that you can help us on Easter weekend is that because we have extra services and it's a big weekend, we need extra servers. And so if you're not yet volunteering, or maybe you are and you've got a little more margin, we would really appreciate your help in volunteering. We need people helping with the parking lot. We need greeters. We need ushers, hospitality, etc. And so a couple ways, if you're interested in worshiping one service and then working one service, all right, serving one service, and then sharing in the worship experience, another service, you can go by the connection point afterwards and say, I'm interested in volunteering next week for one weekend, or you can go to our website, richwoods.org/sharethehope, and we have all kinds of information there about Easter. All right, so please join us next weekend if you're in town, and if you can help us by serving, we would greatly value that as we look forward to celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. Now today what we're doing, though, is we're continuing a short two-week series called All the Time in the World. And ironically, as we all know, while we've entitled this All the Time in the World, we know that we don't have all the time in the world. We know that we have a very limited amount of time, a finite amount of time. And as we're going through this sermon series, what we're talking about is the fact that there are two different words in the New Testament, two primary words for time in the New Testament. And the New Testament was written in Greek. And in the Greek language, there are two separate words. One is chronos, and the other word is called kairos. Now, chronos is what we talked about last week. The word chronos speaks about sequential, moment-by-moment time, all right? It's the clock on the wall. It is the calendar in your purse, all right? It is about events and activities. It is more specific. It is more measurable. Now, the second word for time is the word kairos, and kairos speaks about spans of time, periods of time, chunks of time. Now, both of these words can be used interchangeably, and they both occur in the Bible. Last week, we talked about making the most of our moments in time, and we looked at chronos. We looked about how do we look at specific moments in time, specific events and activities, and how do we get the most out of those moments. But today we're going to talk about the word kairos. And kairos speaks about, once again, these chunks of time. When we read in the Bible, it says, in those days. That's a span of time. In the time of, all right, it's a span of time. And so today what we're going to talk about is the other aspect of time, which is seeing our life in terms of seasons. Now, once again, both are important. And consciously or subconsciously, we do this all the time, all right? So let me just give you a couple of examples. Let's think about the weather, all right? Now, kairos is a span of time. Chronos is a specific moment in time. Now, technically speaking, spring came on March 20th. That was chronos. It was the first day of spring. But up until yesterday, or perhaps Friday, we had a run of a couple weeks where many of us were thinking to ourselves, when is spring ever going to get here, right? Because even though technically, specifically, measurably, spring came on March 20th, the last couple of weeks where it's been cool and rainy, it didn't feel like spring, right? And so when we talk about time, last week we talked about specific moments, but this week we're talking about these seasons. The same thing happens in marriage. We may have, if you ever get married or are fortunate enough to get married, you may have a wedding date. You will have a date, a time, say, this is the date that we got married. You will celebrate or remember your anniversary. That's specific and measurable. But there's also, when you get married, those of us that have been married, we understand that your marriage will go through seasons. When people begin a relationship with someone or they get married, they often refer to the first couple of years as the honeymoon period. The honeymoon period can last a year, it can last 3 years or 5 years. Some of you don't even get home from your honeymoon, you feel like it's over already, all right? But you have this period where just everything is euphoric and it's easy and it's fun and it's awesome. And then when people come out of the honeymoon stage, all right, people who study this for a living, they then say that people go into another stage of marriage, which is called the reality stage. And the reality stage is where my humanity and my spouse's humanity becomes more evident. And it's not just all fun and games, and it's not just all euphoria. And certain things that we felt a certain way when we first started dating and getting together, those things aren't quite the same that they were before. It's a different season, a different stage of marriage. And so today we're going to talk about this idea of stages, this idea of seasons, seeing our life in terms of chunks of time, not just individual moments in time, and how we can make the most of that. So as we think about this idea of seasons, first of all, I want you to know that it's all the way, it's spread throughout the Bible. All right. For example, in the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. And then this verse goes on to list a whole number of examples. There is a time to laugh and there's a time to cry. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time for war, there's a time for peace. There's a time to search and there's a time to give up. Now, this is speaking not just about individual moments, but it's speaking about times. There's a season of seeking, and there's a season of letting go, and there's a season for embracing, and maybe there's a season where we need distance and separation. All right? Jesus himself went through seasons. For example, I talked about this a couple of years ago, but Jesus, after his baptism, the Bible tells a story where Jesus was baptized in the book of Matthew. And when he was baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. The Bible says that an audible voice from heaven spoke down. It was a very euphoric and amazing moment in time. But the Bible says that then Jesus left his baptism and went into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. That was a period of time. And it was significantly different than the moment of euphoria where he was getting baptized and there's all kinds of validation and there's spectacular, this spiritual high moment when everyone around is amazed. Now Jesus is in seclusion. He's in isolation. He's hungry. He's being buffeted with temptation and weakness. And after he endured his temptation, the Bible says, then Jesus, the angels came and attended to him, and Satan withdrew from him. Then Jesus went into a season, a period of peace and comfort and consolation. You see, these moments Jesus experienced, they were periods, they were chunks of time. And the word then that separates each of these movements, the word then is a word of continuation, but it's also a word of transition. The moment that Jesus had at his baptism was a moment in time, but then he went into a season of withdrawal and temptation, and then he went into a season where he was in isolation, but he was comforted, and then he went into a season of public ministry. Our lives as well are made up not just of individual moments. It's not just about appointments. It's not just about goals. It's not just about punching the clock. It's not just about achieving things. Our life also is measured in terms of seasons, these chunks and periods of time. They vary in length. They vary in intensity, but we all go through them. Now, there's four things I want to share with you today about this concept of seasons. Here's the first. When we understand the concept of seasons, it provides guidance in decision-making, the decisions that we make with our life. If we don't understand the season that we are in, then oftentimes we're prone to not make wise decisions. But when we understand the season that we're in, sometimes it gives tremendous wisdom and guidance and direction as we're faced with decisions. All right, Jesus himself, in the book of John, chapter number 7, was speaking to the people, and there was this public festival. And there were people pulling at Jesus. And they said, Jesus, you need to go to this festival and just wow the people. Show them that you're Messiah. Do some miracles. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 7. Jesus told them, my time, kairos, has not yet come. But for you, Jesus said, any time will do. The world cannot hate me, cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival, but I am not going to the festival because my time, kairos, has not yet fully come. You see, Jesus had this sense, awareness of time and rhythms and routines, and he said the timing is not right for this. Now, the people were saying, all right, Jesus, you need to go do this right now. Show people who you are. Do some miracles. Wow the people. But Jesus said no, even though the people were pulling him, because he realized it's not the right time. But he also said to the people, for you, any time will do. They didn't have any sense of timing to their life. It's been said, this is baseball season. The difference between a home run and a foul ball is timing. I mean, you can hit it out of the stadium, but if it's foul, it really doesn't matter. It's about timing, right? And my friends, our life as well, we have to be aware of the times that we are living in. We have to be aware of the season that we're in as we approach our decisions, because it might be the right thing to do or a good thing to do, but it might not be the right time. Or it may be something that we just say, you know what, I'm not sure I want to do this right now. And we're tempted to kick the can down the road when in reality, we only have a certain window of time, and maybe now is the time. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before its appointed time, kairos, season. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive what is granted to them. You see, there were people that were struggling and saying, when are we going to see justice? I mean, the wicked are prospering and the righteous are suffering, you know, and they have all these questions. And the Lord says, the Apostle Paul writes and says, listen, there's going to come a time when it's going to happen. But make your decisions in light of the fact. Don't go around judging people, trying to play God. There's an appropriate time for that. When we understand seasons, it gives us wisdom. It gives us guidance in how we approach our decision making. In my own life, one of the things that I love to do is I love to take mission trips. And we have a group of people from our church going to Brazil again in a couple of months. And I've been to multiple countries. I've been to Africa 3 years in a row, 4 different countries. I love traveling. This particular summer, I have 3 opportunities to go to 3 different countries with great opportunity, great need. And I want to, but I had to say no to every one of those opportunities. Because of my family life, because of my wife's current situation, her sickness, it's not the right time. I just can't be gone for 2 weeks. And I had to say no to something that everything inside of me wanted to say yes to. And I had to say no because the context of my life, the season I'm in, is such that it's just not wise. You see, when we evaluate our life, not just in individual moments and specific activities and events, but we look at the grander scope of our life, we often have greater wisdom and guidance in what we do. Speaking of wisdom, second of all, understanding seasons provides wisdom, insight, perspective in the midst of reality. Now, what I mean by this is that life moves quickly, all right? It just goes by quickly. And as we go through life, sometimes we get so caught up in the flywheel of all of our appointments and our jobs and our activities and all the things we need to get done that we're so busy doing stuff that sometimes we don't ever stand back and just look at it clearly. Think about it this way. Imagine if you're driving down the interstate in your car and you're going 70, 75 miles per hour and you're looking out the window and you're trying to look at the pavement and you're looking straight down at the pavement as you're driving 70 miles an hour. Try to picture what's going on there. You can't really see clearly, can you? It's moving, it's all a blur. But if you look up into the horizon and you look at the road in front of you, even though you're going 70 miles an hour, everything looks much more clear and in perspective, doesn't it? You can see the twists and the turns and the humps and everything else. You can see maybe even the potholes, right? This is Illinois. You can see those things. But if you're looking straight down at the road, it's all a big blur. When we look at our life in terms of seasons, it gives wisdom, it gives perspective to our life that we cannot always see when we're living in the moment because we're just so focused on everything and all the chaos around us, we don't always see things clearly. All right, here's what it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14. It says, at this present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that there, in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Now, first of all, the word present time here is our term kairos. In this particular season, the Apostle Paul says, your abundance, your plenty will help meet the needs of other people so that in turn, their abundance will help meet your needs in due season, in due time. What happened was that this was a particular church called the Macedonians, and they had given very, very generously to other people, but now they had encountered problems. There was great need, and the Apostle Paul said, listen, these Macedonians, when they had abundance, they were incredibly generous to help support you and others. Now that you have an abundance, now that you have plenty, now that you have opportunity, it's your time to give to them. The goal is equality. I'm not trying to burden you. But once again, when we have a perspective of seasons, we have a perspective of life, a wisdom that is able to look at our life and understand that whether we have much or whether we have little, that this is a time. And how do we use this to the best of our ability? I heard a pastor one time, he said, if you're going through life and you're having some difficult times, remember, this too shall pass. And he said, and if you're going through life and everything is going well, and everything is moving along wonderfully, remember, this too shall pass. It's all a season. I read recently in Forbes magazine that it said, Forbes magazine said that 80% of professional football players go bankrupt within 3 years. You know what the average starting salary is for an NFL player? It's like over $500,000. And 80% are bankrupt within 3 years. Now, there's several reasons for that, but let me tell you one. One is because when you're rolling like that and you're the center of the party and you go into a restaurant and you order your meal and the restaurant owner goes, oh, don't worry about it, I'll just cover your meal today. There's a temptation to think that I'm always going to be treated that way. And you go into a car dealership and you go to get a car and the car dealership says, oh, you play for the, you know, fill in the blank. You know, hey, why don't you just take this $80,000 car and you can just drive it for a couple of months and let me know what you think. There is a sense, an awareness that sometimes people can get so caught up in the moment that they tend to believe that life is always going to flow like that. And then once they're done and they're injured or they're cut or whatever, and they're not getting that big paycheck, and all of a sudden they go to the restaurant and people say, who are you? And you don't get a free car anymore. Matter of fact, now you got to start paying for repairs. All of a sudden, life collapses. You see, when we do not live with an awareness of seasons, when life is going good, there is often a sense of entitlement. There's a false belief that this is the way it's always going to be. And likewise, when things get difficult and hard, we can tend to get so caught up in it that we can't ever see beyond it. Which brings us to our third point. The concept of seasons provides hope in hardship. It helps us to see beyond the difficulties that we're facing. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings, once again, present is a word kairos. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. The Apostle Paul is not saying that sufferings don't happen. He's not saying, you know what, hey, you're doing something wrong, you should never suffer. No, he's saying, this is a reality, you're facing sufferings, I'm facing sufferings. But I consider our present, the current season of hardship and suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that is revealed to us. In other words, listen, I realize that in this life, Paul says, it's going to be hard. But God has something better for me. And he's able to look beyond his reality, look beyond his suffering, and to see something hopeful, something in front of him. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a majority of the New Testament, also understood this. A verse that is often read at funerals, it's on bulletins. If you've been to a funeral, you've probably heard this verse before. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. It says, I am being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure is near. The time, kairos, is near. In other words, Paul, when he writes these words, the Apostle Paul is in jail. He's in a Roman jail cell, and he's facing the possibility of death. Now, this isn't the first time it happened to Paul. As a matter of fact, when you read the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was arrested multiple times. He was beaten. He was jailed. He was run out of town. He was stoned. He was threatened. But this time was different. Where Paul had faced persecution literally for decades, in 2 Timothy, Paul said, the time of my departure is near. I know that this window of time, my time on earth, is about done. He wasn't in denial about that. He wasn't avoiding that. He realized, I'm entering a season of time where my days on earth are short. They're limited. But put this verse back up. But even though Paul was aware that this was the season he was coming into, he goes on, he says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only me, but all who long for his appearing. You see, Paul was putting his present sufferings in perspective, and he realized, I'm not just going through a hard time right now, but Paul says, the time of my departure has come. I realize I'm in the last days, weeks, or months of my life, but guess what? I still have hope because there's something awaiting me, something eternal and something lasting. The Bible is filled with messages like this. In the book of Isaiah, it's a book in the Old Testament, and it's a rather arduous book. It can be a little bit cumbersome to read through. It's 60-some chapters, but the book of Isaiah was written to the nation of Israel when they had rebelled against God, and they had great judgment, and they were suffering. In the midst of their suffering, in the midst of God's judgment, in the midst of the heavy hand, the weight of their hardship, the Lord over and over again gives them hope. For example, in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 6, it says, then the lame will leap like deer. The mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Listen to those analogies. When people, listen, this is a group of people that are beat up. They're asking themselves, I don't know if I can make it another day. Is life even worth living? And in these circumstances, the Lord gives them hope. The lame will leap like deer. The mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth out of the wilderness and streams in the desert. Those are beautiful analogies. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light. And I will guide them through the rough, and I will make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. I will be with them, says the Lord. Chapter 61, verse 3 and 4. To those who grieve in Zion, they're grieving because they lost, they're hurting, they're suffering. To those who grieve in Zion, I will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for display of splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. My friends, the Lord says, there's hope. And one of the things that we have to understand about hope is this. Hope is not grounded in this earth. Now, we can have hope about a cure for our illness, hope for a better job, hope to find a spouse, hope that our kids are going to get it turned around. But ultimately, our hope is in God. And our hope is always framed in terms of the eternal. And my friends, part of our seasons of life, as we have to understand, the seasons of life that we go through, life is never, ever, ever going to fully make sense in this world. And if you and I want all of our questions answered and we want everything to make sense for us, we are going to be sorely disappointed. At some point, we have to take a step of faith. We have to step out and say, you know what, God, I'm going to trust you. I can't see you. I can't prove you. But I am going to trust you. I'm going to trust that what you said is true. I'm going to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we place our faith and our hope in Jesus, sometimes, just like we just read about, we still have to walk through the valley. We have a season where we still have to walk through the hardship, but there is hope on the other side. And that, my friends, is what the gospel is all about. Fourth and finally, understanding that the concept of seasons provides motivation in times of weakness. The reality is, that life is difficult. And let me just tell you this as well. Contrary to what some people believe, being a Christian does not always make life easier. I thank God that the Lord has come into my life. I'm thankful that I'm a Christian. I'm thankful the Lord saved me and changed me. And God has made my life so much better in this world, and I know what's going to happen in the next. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, straight, narrow, and hard is the road that leads to eternal life. Broad road and easy is the road that leads to destruction. If you want easy, you're in the wrong place. Because sometimes following Jesus, doing the right thing, obeying, is not always easy in the short term. Oftentimes, it's much more difficult. In the book of Galatians, this verse right here was a blessing to me personally, because this week I found myself feeling very tired and very weary. And these verses ministered to me. But here's what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, kairos, at the right season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. What he's saying here is, listen, keep doing good even though it's hard. Don't become weary. Don't give up even though you feel like quitting. In proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. As we have opportunity, keep doing good. Keep staying in the fight. Keep moving forward. Keep doing the right thing. And when we, my friends, understand our life in terms of season, chunks of time, it often provides motivation, strength, and encouragement when we feel weak and weary, like we just can't go on. Let me close with one more verse. I'm going to put this up on the screen, and I want you to look at this Bible verse for just a moment. It's Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Let me tell you the context, and then we're going to close with this. The context here is, I told you earlier at the beginning of my message about Jesus, after his baptism, that he went into the wilderness and faced an intense period of temptation where he was buffeted by Satan. And this verse right here from the book of Luke tells us what happened after Jesus endured the temptation. When the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. The word time here is kairos. It's not chronos. It's not a specific moment. It's a period of time. In other words, Satan tempted Jesus. He had him weak and beaten down. He tempted him, gave him everything. Jesus withstood the temptation, and even Satan backed off and said, all right, I'm going to back off. I'm going to regroup, restore, and I'm going to wait for the opportune time, and then I'm going to pounce again. Let me ask you this question. If God understands the concept of seasons, and if even Satan understands the concept of seasons, would it not be beneficial for us to grasp the concept of seasons? Seeing our life in terms of not just events, not just specific moments, not just our schedules and our calendars and our appointments and our goals and all those other things that we go through life with. But what if we saw our life in terms of chunks of time? And we began to evaluate, this is the season. It may be a season for a few weeks or a few months or maybe a few years. But we begin to see our life in terms of seasons. How much better would we be? How much more alive would our faith be? How much more hope would we have? How much more wisdom? How much more guidance in decision making? You see, Jesus lived this way. Even Satan lived this way. Let's be sure that you and I are living this way. And as we do, I believe that we will be better because of it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that there are some in this room that are in a season of plenty right now, a season of blessing, a season of freedom, a season of opportunity, a season of joy, a season of laughter, a season of ease. And for those that are in that season, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless them, that you will allow them to enjoy this season for what it is, a gift from you. Allow them to have grateful hearts and just to be able to lean in and to enjoy what they have in front of them. And yet, dear God, we know that some in this room are going through seasons where they are just grinding through. They are weak, they are beat up, they're tired, they're stressed, they're disappointed. I pray, Lord God, that you give strength, that you give hope, that you give guidance, that you give perspective to those that are walking through a difficult time. But whether we are in a season of abundance or whether we are in a season of want, whether we are in a season of gratitude and thankfulness and ease, or whether we are in a season of hardship and struggle, we look to you and we look to your love and we look to you, dear God, as our source of strength, as our source of hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand and join us as we sing this song of worship?